Well, you know, Dr. Seuss is the latest famous figure who finds himself trending in a negative direction on social media and declared over, joining the hordes of other celebrity casualties in what is known as cancel culture in 2021. Along with comedian Jimmy Fallon and author J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame, and even the Disney cartoon character Pepe Le Pew, the hits just seem to keep coming. And I get it that times have changed, and we need to realize that some things that we once thought were okay to say or to think are now inappropriate, but it seems that our culture has developed a rather toxic level of contempt these days, and it's tearing us apart. We see expressions of it all around us on social media and television and the news, and it's making us miserable. It's also keeping us from flourishing as a society, I believe. Well, how can we change this? What is the antidote to all the negativity and contempt that we see and feel and experience around us and in us? And how does Jesus want us as followers of Jesus Christ to live in a way that is counter to the culture of contempt? I think that the key is found in the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. That's what I want to talk about today. When we think of the word kindness, the images that probably come to mind are our kindergarten teachers, or perhaps our grandmothers, or even the mom and dad on the Brady Bunch TV show. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not all bad. These are nice images. But that's actually part of the problem, isn't it? You see, in our world, being kind sounds a whole lot like being nice. And being nice doesn't seem to help you get ahead in this world very often. As a matter of fact, it might even hurt your chances. What's the old saying? Nice guys finish last. To many of us, kindness sounds rather weak, lightweight, perhaps even timid. However, when we consider kindness from a biblical point of view, what we're talking about here is more than just being nice. You see, kindness as a fruit of the Holy Spirit is a divinely empowered virtue that is actually quite powerful. And as we will see later on in my sermon, in many ways, it is rather subversive. It is sometimes unexpected, so unexpected, and even undeserved, that it can catch a person off guard and penetrate their defenses. The word that is translated kindness in our passage that we've read this morning is the Greek word krestotes. And unlike our English word kindness, it doesn't just refer to a kind gesture or a kind action. Rather, it describes a person's whole inner disposition. It might generally be translated like this: a generous temperament or a grace that pervades the whole of one's nature so that it softens all that would be harsh, selfish, and austere in a person. Any expressions of divinely inspired kindness is ultimately rooted in the kindness of God. And throughout Scripture, we read of the way in which God demonstrated His loving kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. A good example would be found in Titus chapter 3, where we read where Paul writes, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." What we find when we study the Bible is that the kindness that God expects His children to cultivate in their own lives, in their own hearts, is the very kindness that He has shown to us in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word that on occasion is also translated kindness. And it, too, is a difficult word to translate. It is the Hebrew word hesed. Now, actually, that little sound effect was an extra add-on, but it helps you say it. I want you to say the word with me, hesed. Hesed. No single word in English can convey the whole meaning of the Hebrew word chesed. And so we attempt to express what is being said here with phrases like sacrificial love or covenantal love or loving kindness. An example of this is found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, where it says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. It's the chesed of the Lord that never ceases, the loving kindness of the Lord that never ceases. There's nothing in us that deserves the kindness, the chesed of God. It is his unmerited grace, his favor, and it doesn't come as a result of who we are or what we have done. It completely comes as a result of who God is and what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. And Scripture tells us that you and I are now invited to be channels of God's loving kindness, his chesed to others. And each of us has an opportunity every single day to reject the temptation of power and bitterness and instead choose to express God's loving kindness to another person who doesn't deserve it any more than you and I do. Whether it's a rebellious child or a bitter ex-husband, an angry driver or a demanding boss, every time that you and I choose to reject anger and contempt and instead choose kindness, we share in the ministry of God, his ministry of hope and reconciliation. Now, this doesn't mean that we become codependent in our behavior. We don't enable bad behavior. Sometimes the most kind and loving thing that we can say or do is to hold someone accountable and to speak truth into their lives. And yet to be a channel of God's loving kindness to others when they don't deserve it is to reject the desire to be bitter or to get even. We can leave justice in the hands of God, who is in a much better position than we are to sort things out. And we can look to him to be our defender. When we are channels of God's loving kindness in the world, we create hope. We create healing. And the rippling effect can be dramatic. In this passage that we've read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a classic description of the way in which the follower of Jesus Christ is to express God's loving kindness toward others. And it doesn't just have to do with marriage, even though it's read at a lot of weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When was the last time someone expressed that kind of kindness to you? When was the last time that you expressed that sort of kindness to another person, especially towards someone who didn't really deserve it? You don't have to be a social scientist to realize that the world is a harsh and cruel place. Read the latest news feed or go on social media. You'll find all sorts of problems. Marriages are falling apart. Children are being bullied in school. And in the workplace, it seems that people will do just about anything in order to get ahead. The world is a severe and unrelenting place. And in a world like that, it is natural to see everyone turning inward and people becoming self-protective, self-promoting, self-preserving, selfish. And this is when the fruit of the spirit of kindness becomes powerful. And it can undermine the cruelty of the world. It's the first thing I want to talk about, the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. The second matter I want to discuss has to do with examples of kindness. What does the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit, look like in real life? There are many examples in Scripture to which we could point to give us a picture of what the kindness of God's people is to look like in the world today. For example, there is David, who showed kindness to Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of David's greatest enemy, Saul. Even though Mephibosheth posed a threat to David because of his claim to the throne by virtue of his lineage to the former king, David followed through on his promise to his friend Jonathan to show kindness to Saul's descendants. I also think of Joseph, who acted kindly toward his brothers who had sold him into slavery instead of getting even and punishing him. I think of Boaz and Ruth. Recall that Ruth was a widow and Boaz became her redeemer kinsman out of kindness. Then there is the example of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that story, we see how Christ emphasized that acts of kindness aren't simply something that we're supposed to show toward people who are like us or that we would naturally get along with or would be easy to love, but rather it's something that we're supposed to do toward people who are very different from us, from folks that we might even consider our enemy. Sometimes kindness requires courage. And we see an example of that when Joseph of Arimathea boldly went to Pilate, the governor, and asked for the body of Jesus so that he and Nicodemus could give Christ a proper burial. In our day, we might say that Mr. Rogers was the patron saint of kindness. Behind the cardigan sweater and behind all the puppets and the simple, catchy songs, there was a deep and abiding message of kindness that was actually rooted in his faith as a follower of Jesus Christ. Many people don't know that Fred Rogers was actually a Presbyterian minister. And he felt called by God to broadcast kindness and grace through the medium of television in a way that counteracted all the negativity that he saw in the brokenness of the world. Fred Rogers once said, "There are three ways to ultimate success. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. The third is to be kind." He also said, imagine what our real neighborhoods would be like if each of us, as a matter of course, simply spoke just one word to another person of kindness every day. Well, you know, here at First Pres, we may not have Mr. Rogers, but we do have Mr. Bo Brookby, one of the kindest people I have ever met. Can I hear an amen? Every time I've ever been with Bo, and he's prayed, he always adds the phrase, "And Lord, help us do something kind for someone today." And Bo lives that out in his daily practice. I want to be more like Bo. When I think of examples of kindness, I also think of Dr. J. Christie Wilson, a professor of mine in seminary. Dr. Wilson and his wife, Betty, were missionaries in Afghanistan. In 1974, they were ordered out of the country by the Muslim government, and then the authorities decreed that the little church building that they had constructed should be destroyed. The morning that the bulldozers showed up for the scheduled demolition, the members of the little church greeted the workers with a smile and served them tea and cookies. The workers didn't know how to respond to this act of grace. They were blown away by the kindness of the members of that church. By the way, the workers were ordered by the government to dig 10 feet below the foundation of the building because they had heard that there might be an underground church. They didn't understand. How about you? As a practice and a prayer for the coming week, would you be willing to begin each morning by praying, "Dear Lord, help me to be kind this day," and then make it your aim to go out of your way each day to do something intentionally kind for someone that day? And then at the end of the day, I would like for you to look back over the course of your day and take inventory and notice how your kindness impacted the people around you. Would you do that? I think you'll be amazed. You know, kindness is actually powerfully subversive, and it can catch the world by surprise. Last week, I read a story about a man named Julio Diaz that I just can't get out of my mind. Julio, you see, is a 31-year-old social worker who lives in the Bronx. And every night, he has a regular evening routine. When he completes his hour-long commute from back from the city to his apartment, he gets off one stop early in order to go and have dinner at a little diner. This diner has become his regular dinner spot. Well, one night, Julio stepped off of the number 6 train to go and stepped off into a nearly empty platform, and his evening took a very unexpected turn. As he walked toward the stairs, a teenage boy approached him, pulled out a knife, and demanded his wallet. Julio gave the boy his wallet, and he said, "Here you go." As the boy was walking away, Julio called out, "Hey, wait a minute. You forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, here's my coat. It's pretty cold tonight, and you need to stay warm." Then Julio continued, "You know, all I really wanted to do was to go get dinner. And if you want to join me, you're more than welcome." The stunned teenager accepted Julio's offer. So they went to the diner Julio frequents. And once they got seated, the manager, the servers, and other staff came by to say hi to Julio, and the boy was again surprised. He said, "Man, you know everybody here. You're even nice to the dishwasher. I didn't think people actually behaved that way." So Julio asked the boy, "What is it that you want out of life?" The teenager didn't know what to say. When the bill came, Julio said to the boy, "Look, I guess you're going to have to pay for the bill because you've got my money. But if you give me back my wallet, I'll gladly treat you." The boy handed the wallet back, and Julio then took out a $20 bill and gave it to the boy, and he asked for the teenager's knife in return. And the boy complied. In Julio's words, "I figure if you treat people right, you can only hope that they will treat you right too. It's as simple as it gets in this complicated world." You know, when I hear Julio's story, I don't think he was just being nice. I think he was tapping into the power of kindness, which is much stronger than just being nice. You see, kindness is a sort of jujitsu response to the harshness of the world, which refuses to forcefully oppose the attack of the enemy and instead uses the momentum of the attacker's energy against them. It is the art of softness. It's the kind of strength that chooses to believe something can be gained when we respond to the harsh world, not with greater harshness, but with counterintuitive kindness. You know, a natural question that we might ask is, well, what happened to the kid after this encounter? Did it change his life? What if it didn't? You see, I'm not convinced the story is really about the teenager. I think the story is about Julio. I begin to picture this young man living in a city of 20 million people and how he could walk into a nondescript diner at the end of the day and be welcomed like he owns the place by the manager, by the waitstaff, by the dishwasher. You see, people who treat others with kindness not only soften the harshness of the world of those around them, but I think they also find their own world becoming a kinder and more beautiful place in which to live. How will you act in kindness toward others in the coming week? In what ways is God calling you to be a channel of His kindness toward others in some way? You know, ultimately, to be kind is to choose to be selfless. It is the desire to put someone else ahead of yourself. And you sacrifice your needs for the sake of the others. It can start with a simple smile or when you hold the elevator. You can bring a coworker a cup of coffee. You can help someone carry a heavy object. You can offer to let a driver merge into traffic. You can write a note. You can pick up litter. You can call your parents, a very good thing to do. You can patiently wait your turn, or you can hold your tongue when you really would rather say something mean. Or you can express appreciation to the wait person and the people who are at retail employees. There are a million different ways that you and I can show kindness to people in our everyday lives. Put into your practice the prayer that I suggested and determine to do one random act of kindness in the coming week and see what a difference it makes in your life and in the world around you. I close with this. A man and his wife were awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a pounding on the door. The man got up and went to the door, and there was a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain asking him for a push. "Not a chance," said the husband. "It's 3 o'clock in the morning." He slammed the door, returned to bed. "Who was that?" asked his wife. "It was just a drunk asking for a push," he answered. "Well, did you help him?" "No, I didn't. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring rain out there." Then she said, "Well, honey, you have a pretty short memory. Do you remember 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him." Man did as he was told, and he got dressed and he went out into the pouring rain. He called out into the dark, "Hello, are you still there?" "Yes," came back the answer. "Do you still need a push?" called out the husband. "Yes, please," came the reply from the dark. "Where are you?" asked the husband. And the drunk replied, "Over here on the swing." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Go be fruitful for Jesus this day and in the coming week. Amen.